SNL with Dwayne Johnson is over, but we're just getting started here on Saturday Night Live, live on post-show recaps. And now, here are the two guys who've never seen a deer caught in the headlights. I'm Rob Cicerino, and here with me live in the studio is Mr. Rich Tackenberg.
Hello.
Oh, what a treat this is to have Rich here with us here in person. Rich, how you doing?
Good. I wish I could have rolled in like a weekend update correspondent.
Yes.
Like you
yes.
could have introduced me well, and that, now here with, and I could have just rolled right in.
Yeah. Well, that's what I feel like this is. Of course, if you're watching us live or in the archives on YouTube, this is like some crazy weekend update setup that we have. I just hope that Riblet isn't going to come in and take over the show.
Oh, I'll drop the mic and walk out of your podcasting studio.
Yes, here to talk to us about what's going on this weekend is Rich's friend Riblet. All right, so SNL with The Rock. I thought this was a really fun episode.
Yeah, I thought this was just really, really strong. And it was amazing when I was talking to friends. So many people were surprised when I mentioned The Rock was hosting. And people were like, oh, you got to be really excited about that. I'm like, no, he's good at hosting SNL. He brings great energy. He's really, I think sort of the professional wrestling model is live TV. It's working with scripts that are rewritten at the very last minute and kind of winging it when stuff goes wrong. So he really has a very interesting pedigree for this. And I thought he brought it. The writing was strong. I mean, great sketches, great commercials, a lot of Bobby. What's not to like?
Yeah, I think that one of the reasons why Dwayne Johnson has had such a great career in wrestling is because he's really good at this stuff. He's really good with the microphone and talking to the camera, and he really pops when he does that, and he's so likable, and he doesn't take himself seriously, and there's so many different things with him that you could talk about, and he's like such a physical presence, and he can do all these different things. So what was your favorite The Rock moment on SNL prior to this?
Well, the most memorable, I think, was the Rock Obama. I mean, that was the thing that I take away. It's the thing that I'm most amazed with looking back and realizing he first hosted 15 years ago. Isn't that insane?
Because I was going to say, I think probably my most vivid memory of The Rock on SNL is probably The Rock with Mango. Right?
Yep.
He was like almost like the Rock Obama version of Mango.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Peepers. Mr. Peepers.
Right.
Not
right,
Mango. Right. So he's been doing this for a long time. And he was doing the Rock Obama when Fred Armisen was Obama.
Yep, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And so The Rock comes back. Finally, The Rock has come back to SNL. And a lot of very fun stuff. Not a perfect show, but even the SNL 40th anniversary show wasn't a perfect show. So
yeah, there's no such thing as a perfect show.
No, there's never a perfect SNL. Yeah. So we'll talk about all of that here. We're live on Sunday night, March 29th. We've got the chat room open on postshowrecaps.com. We also are going to be taking your questions later on the show. Use the hashtag PSRecaps to get those into the show. And we will take your questions later on about SNL. Of course, you could subscribe to our podcast feed of the SNL podcast at postshowrecaps.com/SNL iTunes or to the postshow recaps main feed at postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. All right, Rich, let's get into it. Let's start with the Obama sketch. Did you know from the second they started this sketch where this was going?
It took me exactly 25 seconds to put it together because we were watching it. We watched it, started a little bit late on the DVR. And I'm like, oh, this is a surprise. They're opening it with an Obama. And I'm like, what? And I went, oh, wait. Okay, how far into we are? Yeah, it occurred to me about 25 seconds in. Yeah.
Yeah. I had forgotten that the Rock Obama was a thing.
Yes.
And then once I got to the three guys sitting there, I was like, oh, wait a second. I know where this is going.
Yeah. And the truth is, the thing that's great about the Rock Obama was the first time they did it was the reveal. It was sort of the surprise because it's just great wordplay. This sketch was, you know, they certainly did not improve upon the original. It was really just more of same. But the nice thing is that was 6 years ago. So few of us remember. I bet a lot of people watching didn't even see the Rock Obama. So for them, it must have been hilarious because it was just such an inventive idea. And then I love that we did have a little twist on it. You know, there's a lot of little things, little pockets in here and there. But, you know, we have the Michelle equivalent, which was new and kind of gave it a nice little fresh twist.
Yeah. So, of course, on the Rock Obama, we always have the Rock Obama throwing people out the window, which is fun. So anything in particular that stood out to you from the Rock Obama?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, the first thing I want to say, and I think we're going to see more of this, is a here's a surprise. I'm going to talk about Bobby Moynihan, my man Bobby. I thought his
Ted Cruz.
Oh, my wife was actually guessing that there would be a Ted Cruz cold open and that Bobby would play him. So she actually sort of nailed it, not remembering the Barack Obama. But I think that impression is absolutely strong enough to anchor a cold open. So I think as he, you know, continues to be part of the, you know, the primary, we're going to see a lot more of Bobby, because that was an impression. You don't have to know who Ted Cruz is to laugh at that impression. That was a very solid character that I really liked a lot.
Is Bobby Moynihan in sort of like a Dana Carvey situation where he's Ted Cruz and Chris Christie on the Republican side?
Probably, yeah. As things wash out, we'll see.
Will he have to give one up?
Well, it depends how far they get. We'll see, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see. If they come down to like the final two, that's going to be very tricky for Bobby Moynihan. Maybe some pre-tape stuff is going to have to be involved. I did like the thing with Orange Man, You Like Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
With Boehner. Oh, that was great.
I liked when she rips off the arm and he says high five and she high fives with the arm that was ripped off. I also liked the dumbest thing of the ripped off arm. Instead of blood, there was just red streamers hanging from the arm. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah. By the way, Taron Killam, I feel like really does a very good job with John Boehner. Not so much as an impression, but just like physically. Yes. Like, I think he really does look like him.
Yes. No, but,
Yeah. So they do a really good job with that.
And he, as we always say about Taron, even when his impressions are not exactly accurate, they bring such great energy and he creates such a great presence that you're really drawn to him. So that's another really strong impression.
And then Leslie Jones coming in as the Michelle Obama. So you like that overall?
You know, I have no idea that Michelle's garden is such a big thing. So I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I heard she has a garden, but I didn't know that was a thing. But I thought as soon as she starts to change, it's like, this is where Leslie Jones will kill it. And she did a great job. Very short, but she did a really great job. And then I think this was her first time screaming the cold open. I don't remember her having a chance to do it before, which she did with such joy and excitement and energy. She was just, it was just her and Dwayne did. It was great. So great way to kick off the show.
The only thing I'll say that I was a little disappointed in, I thought that She-Rock Obama was a little bit of a lame title for her.
Okay.
I don't know what you could have done that was better.
Yeah.
But I felt like She-Rock Obama was just sort of like, eh.
Okay. I thought it was cute.
I wasn't as excited for that.
I probably liked it more than you.
The Rock Obama is so good.
Yes.
It's just unfair to compare anything else to that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was some like Michelle thing that you could put in there. I don't know. But overall, very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun. And
I'm glad they had that twist, even if it wasn't necessarily brilliant or great execution. It just switched up the original sketch enough that it just felt like a nice, fresh take.
Okay. All right. So we go through the intros. Nothing of note here, right?
No, nothing is.
Everything's the same. So we're going to get to the Rock's monologues. Have there been any Rock monologues that stand out to you that you remember? I couldn't remember any notable ones.
I couldn't tell you. We're going back many a moons, but I couldn't remember any of them.
Okay. So has the Rock actually been called franchise Viagra before yesterday?
I'm going to assume that he has, by the nature of the way that they hit that so hard as the premise of the sketch. And it is true, looking at certain things, especially Fast and Furious, I'm not surprised by that. So I bought it as far as whether that makes sense or not.
Okay. I'm just trying to see if there is a Google entry of franchise Viagra, The Rock, that is older than one day. Now, it looks like from April 25th, 2012, going back that far, that the LA Times refers to The Rock as franchise Viagra. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I thought he was SNL Viagra this week.
Oh, very good. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
He brought it. Now, I would say I thought this was such a clever song, and it was, he did a really good job of doing it. I don't think that the song itself was catchy enough to really kind of make me go, oh, I would show this to friends or I would watch this a second time. But just on cleverness, I thought, you know, so the wordplay and some of the titles that they did, I thought were really funny. So this was a good for a monologue. This was really good.
Did any of the lyrics jump out to you?
Well, I liked that he was going to be in the sequel to Zero Dark Thirty, which is Zero Dark 31.
Yes.
I like that. And
I always like that.
I thought it was very odd that of all the movies you could take a cheap shot at, they took a shot at the Smurfs. Mm-hmm. I thought that for a second,
no, Smurfs three.
I thought was The Rock in the Smurfs and that's why he's calling it out. No, just taking a shot at the Smurfs.
Yeah. I like that he said in the Batman movie, he'll play Michael Caine. He also said, get your movie boner.
at some fun. Point when I get to talk to SNL cast members off the record, which it's just a matter of time. I think we can assume that's going to happen eventually. I'd love to ask them about being cast as backup singer in a monologue song. Like, is that the jury duty of SNL or is that like a really fun, dumb, easy thing to do? Because watching the faces of them, it always seems like Cecily Strong always seems a little like, okay, Keenan, when he does it, always seems like, okay. And then you've got like Kate McKinnon always just seems completely in it and giving 110. Bobby seems like, all right. So I really wonder about that.
You know what I hope it is? I hope it's like Hunger Games type style. Like everybody's name is on a ping pong ball. Like that, you know, Colin Jost is going to like, all right, let's see who's going to be in dancing in the monologue. Like,
yep.
It's like, oh, Keenan,
yep.
Keenan, come on. Yeah. That would, I think, would be the most fun and fair way to do it.
I think so. Well, I think Shashir at this point is just happy for the airtime.
Yeah. And then, if you're a featured player, you have two balls that are in the bag.
Yeah, you're hoping. You just put me on screen, please. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the Starbucks Race Together commercial, which I'm surprised, you know, they ended up changing it to not be more about, you know, Starbucks. It almost became like a commercial about like how people at Pep Boys... when it was so crazy, the Starbucks idea in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Starbucks got off easy.
Yes. Yes. Now, it's interesting in looking at some of the online, you know, a lot of the online commentary about this sketch was, it was cute, but they could have done a lot more with it. My wife and I were laughing really hard at this sketch.
Yeah.
We found this really fun.
Now, are you a Starbucks guy or you're a coffee bean guy?
I mean, at this point, I'm more of a coffee bean guy, although the Starbucks app is so convenient. I love paying with that Starbucks app. And they move
What do they do on the app?
Well, you can pay right from the app.
Like Apple Pay with the app?
Sort of. Exactly. And they move their tea from Tazo to Teavana. So the big shout out to the Teavana teas.
Oh, you're excited.
Oh, that Youthberry. That's
see,
a tea.
I like Tazo.
Tazo's good, but the Teavana, the Youthberry, oh, that's a good tea. That's a very good tea.
And so you're... mostly a coffee bean, a 60-40 coffee bean?
Probably, yeah.
And most people on the East Coast are like, what the hell are you talking about?
What is coffee bean? Yeah.
What is coffee bean? Where's Dunkin' Donuts on this?
Yeah, yeah.
So Starbucks, did you get a Starbucks cup where they wrote race together
on
it?
No, that has not happened to me. I have not had the, have you had the experience?
No,
I
didn't
race together?
I didn't go there this week.
Yeah.
Did the baristas actually open up a conversation with you?
I don't know. I don't know how they have time. That was the thing that was sort of lost in all this.
Oh, I would be so pissed. I'm waiting for my coffee.
Right.
And, you know, somebody's having like a... you know, it's really... bup, 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 bup.
Right. Oh, did you say Tackenberg? Oh, no, you said Ferguson. Oh,
yes.
Christ, please, just get me a hot tea. Can we all race together towards my order? Come on.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I thought this was really fun. By the way, a little bit of trivia. I was surprised this video was directed by Dave McCary, who's one of the director from the Good Neighbor team, as well as he did the circus piece at the end, of course, but he does a lot of those Good Neighbor sketches. So surprised to see Dave get this when it's usually Matt Nas or it is someone else. So it was sort of surprising about that. But I thought this was fun. I thought it was really, I mean, it really showed the Starbucks piece is as dumb as Pep Boys talking about gay people. And I'm going to talk about this in the next sketch. The as dumb as all of it was, the MVP of this was clearly Kate McKinnon with her reactions and knowing that she is actually gay was just a little extra piece of it. But I love that. Like, just please. Wait,
Kate McKinnon
card.
Is gay.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know. I seriously, I didn't know that.
Oh, she's the first openly gay lesbian on the show.
Oh, yes. This is breaking news.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, I thought it was funny that, you know, they were talking about how Ellen is a man and she plays Ellen on the show. And it seemed like she was getting like doubly annoyed.
Yes.
But very interesting.
Yeah. So I thought this was really fun.
Good for Kate McKinnon.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon. What a star.
She's burning it up.
It's going to be huge.
No, she's good in this episode as well.
Yes. Oh, man. K- Kate McKinnon now, I feel like, is now no doubt is going to be a huge celebrity.
Oh, I mean, especially given that she's doing the Hillary Clinton impression, that's just going to guarantee her a lot of airtime coming, you know, for the next couple of months. So yeah, she's going to be big.
Okay. Let's talk about a sketch, which I thought was very, very fun. I don't even know what we're going to call it. Just the WWE promos.
Oh, this, I thought this was without a doubt the sketch of the night. This was great acting, great straight manning, great supporting, and really great writing. And for SNL, before the news, surprisingly dark as well. I mean, it really hit all my favorite pieces.
Yeah, the writing was really fantastic on this. And it was like such a M. Night Shyamalan twist, a good M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yeah.
To have it come back, that this thing that they set up in the second thing comes back around to be this like a horrible revelation in the third thing. Really fantastic. And I can't really remember an SNL like bit having that.
No, I wish they would have said on Twitter who wrote this, because this was not only was it great jokes, and SNL is good at really great jokes, but if you watch the sketch a second time, the build of this sketch, where, again, for those who don't remember, the premise is that, you know, Coco and Trash Yard Mutter are supposed to be trash talking, but Coco makes it personal. And it starts with the revelation that Trash Yard Mutt has herpes, and it's very generic, but it's acute herpes. And then we build to that he, you know, that Trash Yard Mutt watches has Family Guy porn on his computer, and it just built, and it gets darker and darker and more complex and more convoluted and more intricate till we get to the, you know, the point where he has a daughter that he has to say. Everything about it was so great. It was
Evelyn.
Really funny. Yeah.
Evelyn. And he's not fit to be a dad. And just like, okay, the first thing was like, okay, it was like, okay, he has herpes. He's got the worst herpes ever. I was like, okay. Yeah. It's like, okay, where are you going from there? And then when they made the second thing about that you have a daughter and you're not fit to be a dad, like that, I just thought that there was a lot of other crass things that they were going to probably say. And then to make it be about that you're not fit to be a dad, then have the third thing, but being catfished. And then this revelation, which if you didn't see the sketch, was that, that the Rock is catfishing Trash Yard Mutt, played by Bobby Moynihan. And the girl that he's been spanking it to is actually the 18-year-old daughter that he never knew he had. Oh, my God.
It was so dark. But, and I will also say, from the beginning, when the herpes bit, which is just crass and it's sort of broad, what sells it is in the acting and the writing is not the whole onslaught of you have herpes. It's, according to your doctor, it's the worst herpes he's ever seen. It was the fact that Trash Yard Mutt, Bobby Moynihan, makes the choice to still try to stay in the moment of the promo and sort of be Trash Yard Mutt. And so his reaction, instead of the character yelling, cut, how dare you, him staying in it was so beautiful. He did such a good job. And every time it comes back over and over again, and he's still kind of giving that, what? Oh, it just was so funny, to the point when he says, you know, that online girlfriend that you've been talking to for 8 months and you have never seen, you've never seen in real life. And Bobby just goes, oh no, it was so beautiful. It was such a great setup.
Yeah, it was really great. I mean, Bobby Moynihan's reactions of why are you doing this? really was great.
Oh,
and, Kyle Mooney, that was like the guy in between
He
comes in and he's also really funny, that he doesn't react to anything. That's like, oh, that was a great one. That was great. Yeah, that's good. Let's go again.
But again, and then in the great, what I would call Bobby Moynihan style, was how fun was Taron Killam just walking in and on his phone, action. Like, that was just so great. Every time he's on his phone, completely blazed out, and it's just such a nice little string throughout. Oh, this was really great sketch.
Okay. All right. So anything else from this?
No, just worth watching a second time. If you're bored, go back online. It was just really fun.
Yeah, very, very fun. Okay. Let's talk about the Disney remake of Bambi, starring The Rock as Bambi.
Yeah, I thought this was really fun. I don't think that I don't know that I loved it as much as everyone else did, but clearly I enjoyed it.
Are you a Fast and Furious guy?
I think I've seen two. I don't even remember how many I've seen. Yeah. So it's I thought the idea of the premise that we're basing this on for me was a little bit like, okay, but then in execution, I thought Taron Killam's impression of what's his name? Vin Diesel was so fun. That was, for me, definitely a highlight.
Yeah, I like that. He's like, it's always thumping. And then the Rock says, yeah, you're right. It's always something.
Yeah.
He's like, no. that was fun.
Yeah,
I like the butterfly landing on the Rock's nose.
Yes, yeah, it was very fun.
That was fun, and also some of the things that were said, like sort of like the one-liners after he kills somebody of like, I miss her dearly. That was good. Yeah. And when he walks in with, you're like, what's the matter? You never seen a deer in the headlights? And then just some fun jokes.
Yeah, the deer crossing when he jumps, it was all very funny. Yeah.
Yes.
I saw online this was written by Brian Tucker and Mikey Day. Mikey Day, you might remember from the original Nick Cannon Wild and Out series.
Whoa.
Which I always thought he was particularly funny. Tried to get him for the movie we did. Really great guy. So yes. It was good to see he got a chance at writing this.
Yeah. So the Bambi remake was pretty fun. We have some Fast and Furious coverage coming up here on Poster Show Recaps. I don't want to spoil it, but I just want a little tease of we're doing something Fast and Furious related. Not for me. Those movies are too fast and too furious for me. I need something more like moderate speed and evenly tempered. That would be better. That would be better for me.
Is that the new tagline of Post Show Recaps?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't think people want podcasts that are fast and furious.
That's true.
Much. That's too much.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube for that stuff. But some of you guys are watching this on YouTube. So.
There you go.
And the people that are looking for that stuff on YouTube are thumbs downing this.
Yeah.
It's like, not fast enough, not furious enough.
I can be more furious. We can go back to some old episodes from this season and you'll hear plenty of me being furious. Oh,
and let's talk about the Californians.
Oh, see, there you go. There you go.
Oh, wait, it's Garth and Kat.
Oh.
The Kat and the Furious.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about this sketch, which I am very curious to know what you thought about this one of... We have Keenan and Vanessa Bayer are out at dinner.
Yep.
And here comes The Rock and Cecily, and they come and interrupt dinner.
You know, I wanted to not like this sketch, and yet I kept liking it way more than I thought. I mean, it was such a really fun character piece for Dwayne Johnson. I mean, you would think that he came out of the Groundlings. It was a really fun character piece. I loved that Cecily was not doing a version of Deirdre. We actually had a new character.
New character. New character. No Deirdre.
And I would say, I bet we will see that character again. Probably not leading a sketch, but I think we'll definitely see her. We'll see her again. I thought this was generally fun. Talk about zero ending. This sketch had, we end up with 200 onion rings and Keenan for some reason. But in general, it was one of those sketches that I kept going, oh, I'm waiting to not like this anymore. And it just kept being fun. It was just a nice, fun sketch.
Yeah, I love this sketch. I really enjoyed it. And it was so stupid.
It was so dumb.
I loved it. It was like the modern day version of when Kristen Wiig used to do the a-holes.
Oh, yeah, the two a-holes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
That really, I mean, but this was like that on steroids. And I'm not trying to pin anything on The Rock.
Right,
but,
right.
He was funny, but Cecily was so funny. I loved that impression that she did. She was so good.
Oh, that was really good. It was good. And Vanessa's great as a straight person. Even sort of like putting with Keenan, like, wait, are you hard right now? Like everything about that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, even the relationship between Keenan and Vanessa, that was really great. It's just like the fact that you didn't really know if Keenan was getting turned on by this. And then he sort of like is on their side when the onion rings come out.
That's where it lost me a little bit. That's where I felt like they really had no ending. And hey, endings are hard. But I just saw Matt in the chat room was calling out the banana song. That was just really fun. It's just so out of nowhere. It's so pointless. It was so funny. I thought that was great.
And then The Rock just keep going back to that. When you hear her talk, don't get a boner. Do you have a boner right now? If you don't have a boner right now, you should kill yourself. This is, that was really, really great.
Yeah, no, it was really funny.
The onion rings, after all that, she's like, I didn't know that they were going to be like this.
Even the whole setup of like, what do you charge?
I can't even have onions.
Even the whole setup, like, what do you charge? Like 25 cents a ring? And the whole, like, what? Oh, what? Too much. It was such fun. Yeah.
And this is just seems to me like a sketch that it's like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday this is getting written.
Yeah, it was very fun. Very fun.
I just was cracking up when they asked her, like, oh, ask her about her ex boyfriend, ask her who she's to date. And it was just footballers.
Yeah. It was very fun. It's great. Very, very fun.
And they said, The Rock was saying to Keenan, hey, I bet you're thinking about her putting her feet on your balls right now, right? And are you?
Yeah. Oh, really fun.
It was great. I love it. Yeah. I'm gushing. I'm gushing. All right.
It was really good. It was really fun.
All right. Let's talk about Jungle Island.
So, I guess I'd say here was the first kind of comedic pause of the evening. You know, not a bad sketch. I wouldn't say it was a complete clunker. You know, I mean, I'm not politically correct by any means, but often I find like when the joke of the sketch is, look, it's two men kissing or two men, I tend to kind of tune out. This was at least a little bit different because it was Kate McKinnon trying to get in on the Pete Davidson, Dwayne Johnson, man-on-man action. But I thought it had some fun moments. It was cute.
Yeah, I thought that this was pretty fun. I mean, the guys were very committed. And I mean, this like took this to a level that the Vogelchecks are not going to.
Although I actually thought it was less because I thought, you know, kissing his butt or kissing his nipple. It was so hammy in a way that it actually felt very tame to me, where the Vogelchecks, even though it's just kissing, it's just flat out, you know, tongues flying, tongues akimbo. Yeah. So I thought it was tamer than that, actually, even though it was in spirit racier. I did like the cartwheel at the end. I thought I saw it coming.
Yeah. They really committed to it.
Yes, they really could. And you needed to commit to that to make that work. Yeah. So I thought it was fun.
There's also a little bit of some tech issues, like with the dart. Like there's one point where you see Dwayne Johnson stab himself with the dart. But it was fun.
I would say in this sketch, a little bit of, for me, not ideal casting. I think Vanessa Bayer would have been funnier in this sketch than Kate McKinnon. I think Kate is so self-confident that she doesn't have what Vanessa has, which is the vulnerability that would have made this a little bit funnier for me. But I'm nitpicking.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, let's talk about Brogaine. And for me, I feel like this is where the first real slip up of the night was.
Yeah, I get it. I agree. This was also a surprise reading online. This was directed by Matt and Oz, which I would have thought Dave McCary directed this because our leads were the Good Neighbor guys, Kyle and Beck Bennett. You know, I thought there was some funny to it. I thought that it was a trap that when you're writing commercial parodies, I thought they came up with a great name, Brogaine. Okay, it's going to be Rogaine for bros, college students. I like that. I think an execution, and these are so hard, but I felt like an execution, there weren't a lot of surprises. There weren't a lot of twists that really made me laugh beyond the initial idea. So for me, it was,
Yeah. I just felt like, you know, it didn't seem like it was a 2015 joke, you know.
Yes.
We've all heard all the Rogaine jokes already before. Yeah. You know, it was just, there wasn't enough new stuff in there for me to make it, you know, that exciting. And I really didn't get why The Rock showed up with the long hair at the end of the sketch. It just felt like a little tacked on. And I mean, the guys were funny with the one joke I did like was that Beck Bennett was complaining about people didn't, or I think Kyle Mooney was complaining that people weren't checking his fake ID.
Yes.
Because, and then there's like a really old guy behind him. And he's like, we're going to need to see some ID, son.
Yeah. I did like when they're talking about the list of stress that causes premature baldness in college students. And it was a couple like midterms of and the last one was chanting the N-word in a viral video. I thought that was a nice little topical nod.
And what were the ingredients in Brogaine? It was like minoxidil, and then it was like creatine.
Yeah, I remember.
And the last one was Bud Heavy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So that was Brogaine. All right. So, now that'll get us to the point where we'll talk about our musical guest for this week, which was the great George Ezra. And here with us, not in studio, but coming to us from a neighboring country. Let me get James up and bring him in. James, are you there?
How's it going, guys?
It's going good.
Going great, James. What'd you think of George Ezra?
Well, I have to say, in the diminishing returns of bringing over soul and blues-obsessed white boys from the UK, might have finally hit its nadir with George Ezra. After Sam Smith, huge took off after his Saturday Night Live appearance last year, we've had Hosier, and finally, I think we're at George Ezra, sort of a Hosier Jr. this week, and Budapest is what his first song is sort of a minor hit. It's what I would call faux catchy, where you're listening to it and it seems catchy, but 30 seconds later, you can't actually remember what the melody was and it isn't stuck in your head the next day. And you can't remember who sings it when you hear it on the radio. But
now I would disagree. I remember the melody. I just don't know a single word of this is me singing. That's stuck in my head, but I have no idea what we're talking about.
It's sort of a reverse. If I had $1 million, he's talking about giving away all of his stuff in order to win his girl back.
Ah, I had no idea. And I've heard the song a million times.
Why did he need to give away all his stuff to get his girlfriend back?
I think it's like, I would give up all of my castle in Budapest and I would give up all of this stuff if only you'd come back.
Hmm. Yeah. Right. Seems like a bribe.
I think the Bare Naked Ladies had the smarter choice. I think you're going to go for the guy that has $1 million than the guy that's going to come over and ask to borrow everything.
I think that's right. Okay. And then what about the second time out for Mr. Ezra?
So Blame It On Me was the second song. And this is when I had the reaction that the rest of Twitter seemed to have, which is, how is that voice coming out of that face?
Yes, he struck me as John Mayer crossed with Michael Cera.
Yeah, and trying to do a Johnny Cash impression, but not quite getting there.
Yeah.
It was perfectly fine, but I don't think I'm on the... There were things that were better than Ezra for me this week.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, well done, James. All right, next week, who is coming back with Michael Keaton as the host?
My girl Carly Rae Jepsen is coming back to SNL.
Okay. Will Tom Hanks be joining her?
I hope so. Tom Hanks is awesome.
Okay. Will she sing Call Me Maybe, James?
I think probably not. But,
stick to the hits, Carly. Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to that next week. James, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Follow James on Twitter. He's at Exclaim Editor. Our musical correspondent here on the SNL recap. Thanks a lot, James.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, buddy. All right, Rich, let's get into talking about what happened on Weekend Update.
Yeah, I thought this was overall, for the most part, I thought a really fun Weekend Update. I thought the jokes were hitting. I thought one of the two correspondents is a fave of mine. I don't know that we ended super strong, but overall, I thought this was really fun.
Okay. Let's talk about how Colin and Michael did this week first before we get to Olya.
I thought there was a lot of good. So separately, I would say I thought there was a lot of good pieces in this. I really liked the little run that they did that Colin Jost did about the opening of the HBO show The Jinx, where they kept changing out the music.
Yeah.
Because they just called out something that I've seen the opening of The Jinx and it never occurred to me. So I love when comedians point out something that I should have noticed and I didn't. And then I thought they did a really nice job with it. So that right off the bat, I thought was really fun.
Okay. More on The Jinx coming up later in the podcast. Then, I thought that there was a couple of jokes that really hit. I think when Colin talks about the Hillary Clinton and the server wiped clean.
Yes.
At least one of the Clintons can wipe something clean. That was pretty good. American Apparel was a big target tonight.
I thought that was really strong. When you talk about, with the models, how they're, still going to make them look like they were kidnapped by human traffickers.
Yes.
And I like when he said, when I look at those things, I don't want to buy clothes. I want them to be rescued by Liam Neeson. That was such a great joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked the joke about it was the talking about with the orange juice. Somebody killed somebody because orange juice is the second worst crime committed by OJ.
Yeah. I like the 440-pound peanut butter cup, which is called CeeLo. I thought that was a great weird shot out of nowhere. That was really fun.
Yeah.
And then them together. What did you think about the Starbucks race relations bit that they
did? I didn't think it hit.
I thought it was cute. I liked that they went there in that, you know, when they were talking about correlating, talking about race as if sort of small talk about sports. I like that Colin went there with like, I think the whites are going to take it all again. Like I thought, oh, they're going to go edgy. But then it just kind of ended very quickly. If you're going to do that, I'd love to have seen that built even more.
Yeah, I think if you're going to stop, like you need to make more of a meal of that. And I felt like they didn't have enough material for them to do what they did.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree.
Okay, let's talk about Olya.
Oh, I love me some Olya. I love me some Olya. Saw online this is actually written by Chris Kelly, one of the writing supervisors. I don't know if he writes it himself or with us, but yeah, I love her. I thought even though she came out with really good energy, doing the, you know, what? My name is who? My name is Olya, Olya, I'm hungry. Like I thought the energy was really good, but I thought it did start slow for me. Mm. It kind of, some of the jokes were cute, but then we started to get some build and then I started to really enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it's always good. I feel like she didn't hit though, like she did when she was a Ruth Bader Ginsburg a couple of weeks ago. I feel like that was probably a stronger piece.
Yes. And this character is the first time she did this character was screen. I think we watched it four times. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but a couple of good jokes. Like I said, in Russia, 50 Shades of Grey describes her teeth. I thought that was funny. I like when she was talking about Ebola, that it was going to come to Russia. And then I was like, nah, too easy. I thought that was funny. So a couple of definitely funny jokes in there.
Yeah. She said her toes are like One Direction. There's only four left now.
She was talking about the superhighway and she's talking about, she goes, in your screams. He goes, oh, you mean dreams? She's like, what are dreams? Yes. I thought that was a really fun little build. So all really good.
All right. Let's segue and talk about the most optimistic person that Michael knows, Willie.
Why are we bringing this person back? Why did we need more Willie?
But how do you start with Kate McKinnon and close with Willie?
I think that says everything about seniority on the show because it makes no sense. I thought it was fine.
We've said on this podcast numerous times, Kate McKinnon is a closer.
Yes, exactly.
Why are we bringing her in the middle?
Makes no sense to me. And Willie closed the first time they did Willie to tepid response. So the fact that they gave it the nod again was super shocking to me.
And that, I don't want to totally kill Willie. He's been through enough. I mean, that it was funny, but it wasn't hilarious.
And the problem is this is such Mad Libs writing that it's really, really, really hard to get that to surprise us, because it's just going to be like, I'm going to say something that might sound positive and then it's a negative. So I really like, didn't work for me.
Yeah. But you know, it's like, it's like they always say, Rich, don't bring back Willie.
Yeah, exactly.
No, there was a couple of good, decent lines of like, you know, they say it's better to have loved than lost than lost the drag race. Was that what it was?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Was it the last thing my wife said to me was
it breaks Willie.
It breaks Willie.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some funny, and Keenan's good at it, but yeah, it sort of didn't work for me.
Another one was just like they always say, wolves raped your dog again, Willie. Poor Willie.
I would love to list free Willie from his pain and suffering by not ever bringing him back, but I don't think my wishes will be brought.
Well, this is Keenan's last season. You think we see another Willie before the end of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we see another Willie.
What is Keenan's signature weekend update character? Is it
Jean Valjean?
When was the last time he did him?
I feel like last season.
Last season?
I think we saw him last season. Yeah, I think that's sort of the signature move, which is
I mean, we haven't seen a what up with that. We haven't seen a...
Well, we saw a little bit of it in the 40.
In the 40,
well, I think that'll be season finale. I think we'll see. I think Sudeikis comes back. I think Hader comes back to be Leslie.
Boy, what a send-off for Keenan.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be... I think we'll have a lot of returns for that.
What a leader in the clubhouse that everybody's coming back for Keenan.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Keenan. Let's go right into Cooking with Paul, which in my mind, I thought this was the low point of the night.
I did not think it was for me. That's a good question. I mean, here's the thing. I didn't think it was good. I thought it was one note, but I did enjoy watching Keenan kind of half-ass his way through it. Like, he just wasn't trying, and I actually mean that in a good way, which is surprising. It was just this one note. Oh, I'm going to get back on the computer. I thought The Rock did a good job. Where I really started laughing is when they do an overhead shot of the cooking shot where Keenan's going to be chopping and he just picks up and he just waves the knife around and throws the chives. And then he goes to the computer and he just starts slapping his hands. He doesn't even try.
Yeah.
Which I thought so summed up that sketch. Like, nobody really, the writers didn't try that hard. Keenan didn't try that hard. It was just like, here's a thing. Let's just do it and get out. And, you know, and that's what it was. So, it definitely not a great sketch.
I just feel like if you're going to go ahead and, you know, make jokes in this arena, they just better be great jokes.
Like, yeah.
If you're going to take us here down the dark path where we're getting into, you know, sexual predators, you know, looking for child porn, that, like, you better have a great joke.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Like, you know, Keep Away with the Laptop, I felt like was not, you know, a means to an end to take us to talk about this stuff.
And then him just pulling out another laptop just seemed like the easiest joke. Like, they didn't even try on that one. There was nothing clever about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Cooking with Paul, let's file that one away.
I agree. Miss. Yeah, I think we're good.
That was a miss. That makes us long for Optimistic Willie.
Yes, exactly.
All right, let's go to this next sketch, which ended up being different than what probably we expected it to be at the start.
This was a very big left turn. Did not see this one coming at all.
All right. Now, first off, you mentioned the Jinx earlier. So are you a Jinx fan?
No, I've seen some of it. My wife has watched it. Everyone in my office has watched it. I know a lot about it, but I am not that I don't like it, but I'm not necessarily a fan of it.
Okay. Because I've heard the comparison between Jinx and Serial.
Yes.
A lot. But you would say Serial better than Jinx.
I couldn't say because I didn't see it. Although knowing what I know about the Jinx, I did think that the gang at Serial has to be so pissed off that there was actually an ending to the Jinx. Like, damn it. Why couldn't Adnan just speak when his mic was on? Damn it. Why couldn't he just admit it? Like, oh yeah, I did kill that girl. And when all that time was missing, like, so I the comparison's clearly obvious.
Yeah. So I had not seen The Jinx, but I've heard a lot about it. I actually watched the first episode last night before I went to bed. So just to get a sense of it. So what was your take on Kate McKinnon's impression and this sketch overall?
Well, I can't really speak to the impression because I don't know enough about him. It seemed broad, although for Kate, it actually did. For someone who doesn't know the real person, the character that was created did not draw me in. I was not necessarily... I didn't find myself sort of really sort of drawn to it. I couldn't say whether it was good or not.
Yeah. What about the fact that The Rock wasn't here?
Not a big surprise. I mean, you know, this season and last season we've seen of what is a relatively new phenomenon where a host that is not an alumni or not friend of show is in almost every single sketch. There have been multitude of episodes where the host is in half the sketches, three quarters of the sketches. But this is a new thing where now they're in almost all. So it was nice to take a break. Not have Dwayne in something with no knock to him. The same way I sort of felt about Brogaine. I think the episode would have breathed a little bit if we didn't see The Rock in that sketch. But overall,
Okay. So I thought it was funny, but, you know, again, not hilarious, not being super familiar with the source material.
Now, I will say, again, as a guy who does some improv in a non-professional way, when Prince Charming came out,
yes,
I was laughing so hard at them coming out to the music. That's a UCB inside joke, but that was...
What was the music they came out to?
I can't even remember what song it was. I don't know if it was written down anywhere. I don't remember the song, but just the way that they came out with the energy and dancing with each other and running around, it was a perfect send up of every UCB improv team, probably every improv, but specifically UCB, including me as a, you know, on the indie, you know, crap team. It was so perfect that that was just a little kiss for all the improv nerds out there.
Okay. Let's talk about Kyle Mooney talking to people about the circus.
Oh,
no, no, I skipped ahead. Let's talk about the interrogation.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, now we're at 12:50 at night, so we're gonna, you know, this is a sketch that maybe they thought was gonna be before update, and in fact, you know, wasn't. It was novel. You know, we've seen versions of this sketch before. They did it. They did a good job. The one thing I would say, and I don't want to knock Dwayne Johnson because hosting this is hard. But if you're going to make the big joke revolve around, giving a monologue that is in fact the theme song to a show, you can't stumble on the words. Yeah. I'm not saying I can do any better, but it was so, unfortunately, by him stumbling, and that joke was so hinging on so much to come around and to pay off and the button and the callback. So it was hard. It was hard that we sort of stumbled on that. That said, even if he had nailed it, I don't think I'd be talking about the sketch to anyone else tomorrow, but it was cute.
I thought there was a couple of funny jokes, and I feel like after they finished writing the double date sketch, then they wrote this one. That there was a couple of lines that made me laugh. That The Rock says, "Does this look like a gorgeous Cheesecake Factory to you?" I was like, "What?"
Yeah,
no?
Yeah, and he did a good job with the whole like, "I have to pee, but I'll hold it in," or the "I can hold it in all day," whatever it was. I thought like a lot of that stuff was.
You
really
will never
funny.
Be friends with Jeff. Just get that through your thick head. Like, she has a boyfriend and his name is Jeff and he's the best. That was fun.
And Taryn was very good. I mean, I thought Taryn really anchored it so well as not being like, who is this guy too much, but also not buying into it. And he walked the line really well.
Yeah. So some fun stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do you want from 12:55? Okay.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the circus sketch.
You know, I would say I felt as disinterested in this sketch as most of the people he interviewed.
Yes.
Here's what I would say about the circus. I would say, in fairness, it's just not for me. I am not this audience because I like what he's doing. I like that they're out there, but I just, for me, it was just, I don't know. I'm not laughing. And on the 40th anniversary, there was a cut for time sketch, which was similar to this, him interviewing people about SNL. And again, it didn't do anything for me. This style of mumbly interviewer just isn't making me laugh.
Yeah, I hear you that it was fine for me, but I definitely feel like I'm not sure what we're going for here because we both would agree that Kyle Mooney is a very funny guy.
Yes, very much.
But
so.
He's gonna play somebody who is like not good at interviewing and sort of just like being like sort of amateurish. So it's almost like if you had if Bruno Mars was doing like a William Hung impression. Like it's almost mm-hmm. somebody who's good, but they're pretending to be bad. So I don't know. Like, I just feel like on paper, when you sort of look at it, it's like, why is he, instead of like trying to be as funny, why is he trying to suck?
Yeah. I think it's part of that. I think sort of the trend that we see now with hidden camera, and we've talked about this before, sort of like in the Eric Andre style on Adult Swim, is not to make fun of unsuspecting victims, but to be weird and crazy around them and just watch them react. And the Good Neighbor guys did that so well when they were the two brothers doing their YouTube show and Beck Bennett's a baby and Kyle's a dog like that. The reactions of people was really fun to see. This was just like, boy, I so agree. Read with the people that were like, what is going on?
I feel like we're trying to recreate like the laughs that we would get, like watching somebody who was terrible.
Yes.
Like a real thing that was terrible, but we're trying to artificially create that sort of terrible public access thing. And like, for me, it rings a little hollow that instead of somebody like doing something great, it's like we're trying to make it look like we suck.
No, I agree. I even felt like it's sort of reminiscent for those of us who are, you know, 85 years old of old Larry Bud Melman in the early days of Saturday Night Live, when he of Late Night with David Letterman, when Dave used to send Larry Bud out to interview people and was so bad that the joke was what a bad interviewer he was. So
But he wasn't actually a good interviewer, right, capable of doing a good interview.
Exactly. Like, what made it work is he, even though he was an actor, the actor was a bad interviewer, and right, that was just really, really fun.
Okay. So, and again, it was cute, but it wasn't, it's not my favorite thing. All right. Let's talk about our good nights.
Yes. So, cut off on the feed, but I got to watch him on Hulu.
Cut off very
quickly. They were running long.
They were East Coast feed.
They were running the West Coast too. They were running so long that it wouldn't have shocked me if Circus had got cut, because it was really tight. But having watched them, you know, again, watching him do the actual good nights is just shows you what a pro he is. I mean, and it was interesting. He gives a shout out not only to Lorne, but Steve Higgins, which doesn't happen very often. Yeah. And then what I liked is, and you wouldn't have seen this just from the television feed, when he refers to the cast, he says, I want to thank these amazing dance partners. And he actually said it twice. He called them these amazing dance partners. And I thought, what an odd and great kind of thing. So huge hugs, everyone clearly hugging Dwayne Johnson. I was watching once again, Leslie Jones is up there first. It really occurred to me, I know what it is. Like, Leslie Jones is often the first person giving the host a hug. And I realized that even though she's a feature player, I think there's something about her age and experience that she just carries herself like one of the senior members. She just carries herself like one of the senior members of the cast, not in a cocky way, but just in a confidence of like, I'm here. Like, she seems to have more presence in those good nights than Vanessa Bayer, who's one of the oldest, has the most tenure on the show. Mm-hmm. So I just thought really, really good, you know, fun, good energy. Great to see The Rock. And I'm sure he will be entering the Five Timers Club in the next few years.
Yes, most definitely. All right. So let's take some questions here with Rich Tagenberg here live in the studio. And let's go ahead and start off with Johnny DeSilvera, as we like to do. Johnny wants to say, when was the last time a host was thankful during the goodbyes?
Yeah, I know he clearly was, you know, he brought that wrestler live performance energy even to the goodnights. And that's just fun to see. You know, very often by the end, the host has done every live sketch and is just exhausted. And it's like, oh my God, this was the greatest. But Dwayne was just bringing it to the very last chord, which was great.
Okay, let's take another question. Zach Brooks wants to say, really love this episode. Knew it was going to be good when I actually enjoyed the monologue. Not one miss. # PS recaps. All right. So Zach is a little kinder than we were.
But you know what? Even the misses, I would say, like, the interrogation was definitely cute. Brogaine was definitely cute.
Yeah.
Even the, you know, the poison dart sketch wasn't unfunny.
Yeah. So, I'd say cooking with Paul. I'm out on cooking with
Paul.
All
right. Yeah. That was probably, for me, Willie was probably the point where I was fighting the hardest to stay in. But again, some of the worst sketches would have been a decent sketch early in the season. So I definitely get it.
Okay, let's take another question. This is from Alex Wilpon. She loved the episode. She was telling me on Twitter last night, both of us,
yep,
said, I think that the pre-weekend update run of sketches has been some of the best stuff all season. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, this was a very strong beginning. Everything on it was really strong, solid. I don't know that there was a lot that will go, oh, that was a sketch of the year, greatest hit for season 40, but just solid, 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 you know, very fun all the way up to update.
Okay. And then this is from Spicy Wasabi. Can we hear Rich's critique of Rob's cereal bit? We did a cereal parody, but I'll send you the link after the show. All right. And then Scott, do we have one more question? Let me see. And then if it doesn't come up, I will assume that we don't. No, that's it. All right. So, Rich, let's look ahead for these next 2 weeks. They just announced the next two hosts of SNL. Who's coming up?
So we've got Michael Keaton next week with...
Has Michael Keaton hosted before?
He has hosted twice before. The last time he hosted was 23 years ago.
Batman?
I'm guessing 1992 probably would have been around
Batman Returns.
Maybe the second.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not sure what would have 92 been. So that was the last time he hosted. So this is the perfect time for Michael Keaton to come back. I mean, this is, the same way I was excited to see J.T. Simmons do it first. I think that this was really, really a good time for him. I think he'll be great. I think he's really ready. He's really proven how much he's willing to laugh at himself in the last few years. I think we'll probably see, I mean, you know, his big movie, you've got two, you know, we've got Emma Stone, who's a big fan of SNL, so we could see her show up. We could see, am I blanking on his name, who just hosted earlier in the season, his co-star. You all know who I'm talking about, and I'm blanking on it. Ed Norton. I could see an Ed Norton show up. So I definitely think there'll be cameos on this one. It's Easter. Very surprising that we're doing a show the Saturday night before Easter Sunday. Very odd. It was odd that we just took 2 weeks off, that something seemed askew and amiss as we head towards the season finale. So, that'll be an interesting one.
Okay. So is this Michael Keaton have a new movie coming out, or this is just still Birdman?
I assume this is Victory Lap. Yeah.
Okay. What about Zach Galifianakis? Could we see Zach Galifianakis?
I could see him. I don't know that those two are necessarily close, but I could see him. Yeah, definitely. I think we'll definitely see some cameos, at least in the monologue.
All right. So very much looking forward to next week. Then the following week.
So then we have, I can never say her name right, the female lead of Empire,
Taraji P. Henson.
Yes. So yes. She will be hosting for the first time.
Yes.
So that'll be a good one. I think we'll get into, we've already had our Empire parody, but I'm sure we'll see a lot more stuff like that. So that'll be fun. With musical guest Mumford and Sons.
Which, oh,
talk about bringing in two diametrically opposed audiences, the Empire fans and the Mumford and Sons fans. So that'll be an interesting one.
All right. Very fun. Rich, well, let me just say, what a great dance partner you've been with us tonight. Yes, here in the studio. Good to have you here in person. Lots of fun.
I've enjoyed this. The week went by so quickly. It feels like I was only here for 2 hours. It was really, it was amazing.
Yes.
I'd like to thank Nicole. I'd like to thank Dom. Everyone here at the studio was really wonderful to me. Thank you for being such great hosts.
Do you think that this space in between us constitutes a moat?
No, there's no moat.
There is no moat. There is no moat. Thanks so much to James Keast for his report. And thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who's been traveling this weekend, but was able to make it in to get us our questions at the end of the show. Thanks to everybody in the chat room who watched us live, and also all the people that have left us comments about the podcast. We love hearing from you guys. It's a good feeling to know you guys are out there and listening and actually care at least enough to tell us what you think.
I love it.
We really appreciate it. All right. We'll do a show after Michael Keaton's episode next Sunday. And until then, have a great week, everybody. Lots of stuff coming up on post-show recaps. I believe we're going to have, it was the Bieber roast was this weekend.
Oh, the Bieber. Very quickly. Bieber roast is going to air tomorrow night. And I heard from friends who were there, the guy who killed it was Pete Davidson.
Yes.
So let's see our man Pete bring it home. And I think he opens the roast and supposedly does a great job. I also heard Martha Stewart was an MVP, believe it or not. So let's check out the roast.
Spoiler. All right. Yeah. We're going to have some roast coverage here on post-show recaps. I'm not going to be on it, but we're going to be bringing you a recap of the roast this week. I know a lot of people have been asking for that, so check that out. Plus, everything else coming up on post-show recaps this week. Walking Dead season finale is tonight, live 90 minutes. Josh Wigler and I are going to be at 10:45 Eastern time to talk about what happens. People are probably going to die. That's not a spoiler. So take care, everybody. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye.